Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Okay, I don't mean to start off the episode in a weird way, but we have about an hour because I have a date tonight.
What? I'm sorry, you're giving me a time limit right off the jump in the cold open?
Listen, some people find love in a hopeless place. You found love in a ginger place. I'm trying to find love in any place, okay?
Okay, let's go. Roll the music, Rick. Roll the music. Bitches, and welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where we have other things to do.
Honey,
okay?
Love is on the run, and it's moving fast.
Like your grandmother always used to say, this ain't gonna suck itself.
R.I.P.
Aw, she was a sweet woman. Where is she?
Probably hell.
You all, we are I Think Not, the true crime podcast where we recap your favorite true crime TV shows, episode by episode. My name is Ellen Marsh, and I am here, as always, with my horny but very handsome co-host, Joey Taranto. Hi, my love.
Daddy loves you all.
Okay. Who do you have a date with today? Can you share, or can you share any information about him? Where did you meet him? The gutta?
In the form of a rave. Yeah, I met him at a rave.
Do you know that part in Little Shop of Horrors where he goes, where'd you meet him? She goes, the gutta. And he goes, what? The gutta. It's a bar. I was just talking to our friend Tokes, who lives in LA, and she has this gorgeous British accent. She goes, Joey invited me to a rave. What does he think I am? I was like, you are far too sophisticated to rave, my love, but you are trash.
Okay.
Anyway.
You know what? Okay. Welcome. Welcome to our show. If you're a first-time listener, we are cunts.
You all, do not forget, it's coming up fast, and that means we got to get our shit together. Joey and I are going on tour.
Yeah, we are.
Have you ever seen an I Think Not live show? Honestly, it's pretty weird. So, it's fine.
It's everything you expect. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll get horny. I don't make the rules.
So if you are in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Raleigh, Indianapolis, St. Louis,
Boston, Seattle, Los Angeles, Phoenix, or Chicago,
go ahead and head to our social media. Head to Instagram at ithinknotpod because we kick off our tour in D.C. August 5th and we end August 21st in Chicago. But do we?
No, we just added two shows. We're going to be in Dallas on August 27th and then Orlando on August 28th.
Well, if you are a down bitch or you're on our Patreon, you know we were trying to add those two extra cities. But good news, bad news is that those are the only cities we will be adding this year. Joey and I have a lot of personal and professional things coming up, which are all very exciting, but that is what we can swing for tour. I know in past years, we've added a city here and added a city there. Those are the places that we could go, that we could coordinate our schedule, that we could coordinate venues. If you are on, near, or around those cities, we sure would love to squeeze your faces. But unfortunately, that's all she wrote for 2024.
That's for 2024?
For 2025.
There it is, my dear.
I'm okay. How's everyone? Good, great, grand.
And just so you know, because of those schedules, we won't be able to go out on tour in 2026. So if you want to see us, come see us in August. Head on over to the I Think Not Pod Instagram account where you can find the link in our bio to buy tickets. Or you can go to ithinknotpod.com and click under See Us Live and you can grab your tickets there.
I promise you, if you can make it out to see us live, you will have a night you will never forget, mostly because we will all be doing butt stuff by the end of the night. But we have an all-new new show for you. You all, Joey actually found this show. It wasn't on our list of recommended shows because we just found it and it's brand new, but I love it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Some of the cases are wild. Speaking of case, it's called The Curious Case Of, and you can watch it on Discovery Plus.
And we are starting with season one, episode two, The Girl Who Died Twice.
This is a story about family and identity. In 1981, a 13-year-old girl goes missing in Seaside, California. A dig produces cryptic clues.
We found a teddy bear, a belt buckle, and we found a little girl's shoe.
So I looked at it that we were probably going to be looking for her body.
After 22 years, when police narrow in on a suspect,
he said, yes, the demon could have killed Mary.
A traffic stop changes everything.
Something was wrong with this whole picture.
I said, this just can't get any stranger.
Well, we are in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we meet Sherry Calgaro, and Sherry is a ginger. Now, I don't know if you gingers heard this on TikTok, but Diaria the Root Worker, who is a Black content creator, has a message for the world.
I just need to remind y'all again, everyone who is ginger, who has red hair, those are Black people. You see a white man with red hair, that's a Black man. You see a white woman with red hair, that's a Black woman. Gingers are Black. All gingers.
So, Sherry, I'm here to inform you that your community has just expanded. You know, I just saw a ginger woman stitch this video, and she was all excited, and a Black woman commented, "Welcome to the cookout, Red Velvet."
Yeah, Red Velvet is just chocolate cake with red dye. So as Joey said, we are with an adorable ginger named Sherry, and her lower third says that she has been searching for her sister Mary for 35 years. Wow.
Wow.
Y'all, get ready. This case has twists and turns. It's basically like Joey's love life.
I resent, you're right. So, of course, Sherry just wants to know what happened to her sister Mary. And she also says, you know, I think I have an idea on what happened to Mary. My biggest fear is that our birth mother, Charlotte, and her third husband, William, murdered her.
Yeah, hold on to your Grand Tetons. So, Sherry basically says that she's always had this hole in her heart trying to figure out what happened. She goes on to explain that she was one of three girls. Mary, who was the oldest, who was 5, Kathy, who was 4, and then Sherry, the youngest, who was 2. They were all born in a little town called Little Falls, New York. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
You should not go there.
Why?
You would hate it. It's just a cute little sleepy town. You'd be bored in 5 minutes. Not a rave in sight. I don't think anyone there even knows what a popper is. I think there was one gay guy there back in the, like, 2003. You'd hate it. But it's really, really cute. And she is there.
Yep.
That's where they are.
Yeah, we are there. Well, we get a little history on this family. So Mama Charlotte married a man named Hubert Pressler. But eventually, she got real bored with Hubert real fast, and she had an affair with a man named Charles Day. Well, eventually she married Charles, and they had Mary and Kathy together. But old habits die hard, because eventually Charlotte was like, Charles can choke. I've taken a new shine to a guy named Ira Hoke. And that relationship produced Sherry, but they never got married. Once again, after a while, Charlotte was like, this here pickle patch done dried up, and she wound up having an affair with a man named William Hoole, who was, wait for it, 17 years old and a Marine. My Lord Jesus, this woman is busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
What in the Elizabeth Taylor? Listen, you all, if they'll cheat with you, they'll cheat on you. I have no idea what Adele was going through when she wrote that song, because I do not want to find anyone like you. I do not wish the best for you. You can light yourself on fire. I will be there with gasoline.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
And chlamydia cream. I do not slut shame. Get your groove on. But why are you going to get married if you're going to keep cheating? Just don't get married. Don't sign the paper.
Well, I agree. And so does legal expert Beth Karras, because she pops in to say this.
Charlotte is quite a character. She definitely cuts against the archetypal mother figure. And she was creating quite a chaotic environment for her three young daughters.
That is the most polite way of saying horny. Charlotte is chaotic and horny.
Okay, so if you all recognize that voice, that would be a yes, because she is the woman from The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. I can hear that bowed vocal cord anywhere. And so I love what she said. Charlotte is quite a character. Like, oh, really? Like, does a bear shit in the woods? Does the Pope shit in his hat? How does it go? Does a bear shit in the Pope's hat? Does the Pope shit in the woods? How does that old saying go?
I think it's, does the Pope die?
Does a bear shit in the Pope?
Nice.
Did I get it?
Yeah, real good, okay. Babes.
And so Sherry, the redheaded beauty, basically tells us she's pretty sure that her mother, Charlotte, never wanted to be a mother. Again, does the whole Pope and the bear thing again. I mean, that is a crazy statement to make, but it probably is true. But back in this time in, you know, the late 60s, it probably wasn't acceptable to be like, I actually don't want to be a mom. I really just kind of want to fuck around and find out. I don't want any of these kids. Not that I'm justifying her behavior. I'm just saying Sherry was probably right. This woman didn't really seem like a woman who wanted to be married or have kids.
Yeah, Sherry goes on to say that her mother, Charlotte, was a very unhappy woman. And at one point, she did attempt to die by suicide. So she was hospitalized, and the girls ended up in the care of the Waltz family through the foster care system. But once Charlotte was released, she and William got married, and eventually the court awarded them custody of the girls.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Allermy is back, and this podcast is sponsored by Allermy. If you are an allergy sufferer, put everything down and listen to me, because let me tell you, my little daughter, she's not so little anymore, she's taller than me. This poor thing gets purple eyes every allergy season, and Allermy has the first and only custom nasal spray to treat your specific symptoms.
Getting an appointment with an allergist takes forever, and drugstore meds, they may as well not exist anymore because they are just not cutting it for me. We all deserve a better option. And Allermy has the first and only custom nasal spray to treat your specific symptoms.
So what they'll do is they'll send you your own kit based on your symptoms. So Allermy's medical team will formulate your unique spray. Then they'll send you a kit with a moisturizing saline spray and your custom super spray for fast relief. It is tailored exactly to you. You all, my daughter felt the difference after one use. And we have tried every over-the-counter thing that any drugstore has offered, and nothing really helps. My daughter is telling kids at school about Allermy. I'm not even kidding.
Look, the fact is that Allermy was co-founded by a Stanford allergist, and they have a 95% patient satisfaction rate and over 12,000 five-star reviews.
You all, you are not going to find something so amazing for your allergies at this price. So upgrade your allergy relief with Allermy.
Head to Allermy.com and use code THINK at checkout for 60% off your order.
Once again, that's Allermy.com and use promo code THINK for 60% off.
Make sure you use our promo code THINK so they know we sent you.
I'm allergic to things.
Like what?
Bad drivers.
I have nothing to say.
Sherry tells us this memory that she has. Charlotte and William came to pick the girls up.
I was in the front of the car. I used to hate my mother so much that I decided to pee on her. 6 years old. So I had to at least halfway know what I was doing. And she got us so upset.
Now, this is actually a very real thing. I mean, you know, not to diminish it, but like, for example, cats and dogs, when they feel anxious or they feel retaliatory or whatever, they urinate. And this is a real thing in kids. And again, you know, doing the bedwetter, like Sarah Silverman told the story about having all this anxiety. So this is a very real thing where a kid is trying to express anger or frustration. Well, this did not sit well with Mama Charlotte, so much so that she told William, turn this car back around. William flips a bitch, went straight back to the Waltz family, the foster home that the girls had been at, which incidentally they loved, knocked on the door and was like, JK, you can keep this one. And they left poor little Sherry there.
My God, is that horrible? But you know what? they did Sherry a favor.
Absolutely, because the Waltz family loved her, took her in. Those girls were safe and taken care of there. But still, that rejection from a mother, that anger. I mean, she was just so angry. Could you imagine being in the car for minutes and then being like, just kidding, you keep her?
No, it's horrible. And also, it's such a testament to who the Waltzes were, because they didn't want the girls to be separated. And a lot of times that happens in the foster care system. All three girls got to live with them. But anyway, it says a lot about who Charlotte was. Side note, I will say, I remember when I was a kid, my dad was tickling me and I begged him to stop and he didn't. And I peed all over that dude. All over him. And you know what? That man never tickled me again.
Careful, that one's a peer.
So eventually, Sherry was adopted by the Waltz family. And again, this is in Little Falls, New York. Charlotte and William, at this point, moved all the way to Seaside, California.
And for all you Bay Area folk, I didn't know where Seaside, California is. It's right near Monterey. And that will become important because there's a lot of back and forth.
With Mary and Kathy. And the girls wrote each other's letters. They stayed in communication. But then one day, Sherry says the correspondence just stopped.
Fast forward 2 years later, Sherry is in Little Falls, and she's about 12 years old, and she gets a letter in the mail from her sister, Kathy, and she glances at the return address, and the return address says Canterbury, New York. So Sherry is like, oh my God, are my sisters back here? Are they back in New York? Are they near us? And of course, the Walls family, where Sherry lived, being the loving, wonderful family, said, listen, if you want to go see your sisters, we will drive you there anytime you want. We will take you there. So Sherry, of course, was like, yes, let's do it. I want to see everybody.
Yeah, and it turns out it was only 45 minutes away.
And when I got there, Charlotte, she told me, your sister Mary, she ran away. She was always running away. We could never keep her at home. I just believed it. I mean, how would you question that?
I'm sure Sherry was like, yeah, good on her. You're a fucking bitch. I'd run away from you if I could, too.
Yeah, she was probably like, oh, she ran away. I met you. I know. I can understand why.
Oh, yeah, that tracks. She's like, makes sense. Hope she's happy. Good luck with her project.
Well, then Sherry asked Charlotte for a picture of Mary that she could have. And Charlotte was like, I don't have any. And when Sherry asked why, Charlotte simply said, I burned them. I don't know about you, but Charlotte sounds like a fucking blast.
Charlotte sounds like she spent some time with my dad. And listen, my dad once had a home near Monterey, so it's not too far-fetched.
Charlotte sounds like the kind of person who would punch a baby in the face for looking at them funny.
Charlotte sounds like someone who would steal your Amazon packages off your porch and be like, no, haven't seen them.
Charlotte sounds like someone who watched The Exorcist and described it as a feel-good movie.
Charlotte sounds like someone who would cheat with your boyfriend and give him chlamydia. And maybe a little herpes too. Did I do that?
Charlotte sounds like someone who would use the cat litter box and a pinch.
Charlotte sounds like the kind of woman who would just ash in her bra.
What?
Smoking her cigarettes, being like, well, there you go. Dirty old woman. I mean, listen, we are, of course, joking. And obviously, we're dealing with someone who's just not well. But if you're going to take it out on your kids, you're trash. Yeah. And we can drag you for as long as we want. We
Agreed.
Make the rules. After Sherry gets that really troubling news, but it's her mother. What is she going to say? She's just kind of like, okay. And fast forward 6 years, and Sherry is now old enough to kind of investigate where her sister Mary can be. So it doesn't take much digging for Sherry to find out Mary was never even reported missing.
Yep.
And so down bitch sister Sherry was like, I mean, I guess I'll do that now, all of these years later. And it's 2002, and we meet a man.
Girl.
Who says his legal name is Stephen M. Sarcone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh boy, what's his real name? And he goes, but I go by Steve.
Groundbreaking.
I'm like, wait a second. Imagine this. Follow me if you will. My name is Steven. I go by Steve. I swear, I thought that man was going to be like, my legal name is Stephen M. Charcone, but I actually go by Bo. Botox. So strange.
I was like, sir, I think we could all deduce without you explaining where the nickname Steve comes from. I think we can figure it out. Anyway, Steve, you can call him, just call me Steve. He was assigned Mary's case as well as a man named Detective Joe Bertana.
Incidentally, not in the episode, Detective Joe Bertana actually goes by Al Pacino.
Wow.
Yeah. just so we can...
Everyone's so creative.
This was a 13-year-old girl that was missing from 1981, and it's now 2002. She was never reported missing. Her social security had never been used. You could not find any evidence of her applying or having any kind of identification. And I thought that was very unusual.
So these men had their work cut out for them.
1981 was the Wild Wild West. There are people out there not even wearing seatbelts.
Yep.
Nothing is accounted for. I would imagine they'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Blissey is back. Satin bad. Silk good. You're welcome.
Listen, most folks know that a pillowcase could be the reason that their skin has blemishes or their hair is breaking.
That's why you need to try Blissey Mulberry Silk Pillowcases. I'm not kidding. Not only is it like sleeping on a little bit of heaven, but you will see healthier skin and hair in weeks. That much I promise you. And like I said before,
satin bad, silk good.
Because satin is made from synthetics, and any kind of synthetic is going to be rough on your hair and your skin. I mean, it's cheap for a reason. Let's just tell the truth here.
Listen, if you wake up looking like a troll doll that stuck their finger in an electric socket, you need Blissey pillowcases because they help to eliminate frizz, it can preserve hairstyles, and also protect color-treated hair. Also, it's dermatologist-tested and recommended.
And high-quality mulberry silk is going to be antibacterial and hypoallergenic. Not to mention, they're so cool and breathable, no more sweaty nights. I mean, who thought a pillowcase can make you have healthier skin and hair, promote better sleep, eliminate frizz? I mean, what else does it do? Pay my taxes?
Also, Blissey pillowcases come in over 70 colors, including a Harry Potter line as well as a Wicked line. No.
Oh, boy. So because you're a listener, Blissey is offering 60 nights risk-free plus an additional 30% off when you shop at blissey.com/ithinknotpod.
That's blissy.com/ithinknotpod. And use ithinknotpod to get an additional 30% off.
Your skin and hair will thank you. Please don't sing again.
Nailed it.
There we go.
So Detective Joe speaks with both Sherry and eventually Sister Kathy, who told the detective about a very disturbing incident that occurred on June 15th, 1981.
So Kathy explains that one night she and her sister Mary stayed home while her parents Charlotte and stepdad William went out, dinner, shopping, whatever. And the family had a dog named Bubba Brown. And allegedly, when the couple went out, the dog got sick, and the dog was vomiting, foaming a little, and like, what are these kids gonna do? It's a sick dog. By the way, that's so scary.
Like, yes.
Dogs, animals can't talk. Like, what do you need? Are you dehydrated? Are you constipated? Do you have a UTI? It's just like a scary situation. Well, even scarier so is when William and Charlotte came home, they saw the dog was vomiting, and immediately William accused the little girls of poisoning the dog. You are intentionally making the dog sick. And the girls are already upset because the dog is sick. And they argued back. No, we didn't make the dog sick. What are you talking about? And then it just gets worse, you guys.
So Charlotte tells Kathy to go to her room and shut the door. Well, Kathy goes to her room, but she doesn't close the door. She watches William physically assault Mary.
The next morning, Kathy asked her mother, "Where's Mary?" Her response was, "Mary ran away," or "not to talk about her anymore."
And that was it.
That was it.
I think I told you about the time I ran away from home, right? With the hot dog buns and the grape juice?
Yes.
Did you ever run away?
I made it as far as the driveway. I thought I was going to live in the woods. It didn't work out. Turns out, I'm not built for the outdoors.
My mom didn't even know I left. I just sat up there, ate 6 hot dog buns and 3 grape juices. I was like, well, this isn't the life for me.
Yeah, I know. I'm solid. Also, imagine telling your kid she ran away and don't ever mention it again. Okay, Charlotte, can I mention what a cunt you are? Can I mention how stupid your bangs are? Your glasses are ridiculous. You look like fucking Edna Mode from The Incredibles and not in a chic way.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
My dad once told us that we had a brother named Guido. I mean, we didn't, but he was like, yeah, listen, just like your brother Guido. And you never knew with my dad. I was like, wait, do we have a brother named Guido? And as I'm saying this right now, I'm like, what if my dad was like a scoundrel. What if I actually do have a brother named Guido somewhere? If anyone is listening that knows of a Guido that has a very wide nose, chubby toes, and a pretty annoying sense of humor, tell them to DM me.
You stop it. That's my friend you're talking about.
My dad really said that.
Your dad said a lot of fucked up things.
I wonder if my brother John remembers that.
Hello?
Hi, it's Ellen.
What's up?
Do you remember, like, the mystery brother that dad said, like, that got, like, sent away? Do you remember his name?
Guido.
Oh, you do remember. Okay. I wasn't sure. I was just telling Joey. I was like, I wonder if my brothers remember. What did dad say about Guido?
So he told me, like leading up to my 12th birthday, he said, on your 12th birthday, you have to be laminated.
Okay.
Like, they decide if they're going to keep you permanently or not. They decided not to laminate him, and so he used to exist. And then you guys all played it up like you guys were in on it too. And we're like, yeah, we don't know if we're going to laminate you, Joe. Like, you might go with Guido.
Well, I mean, he did it to all of us. We had such a fun childhood, didn't we?
Yeah, no, like, I know this because I've told this story to my therapist like a dozen times.
Okay, just checking. All right, I wasn't sure if I dreamed that. Okay, good. Real story. We're so normal.
Yeah, we have the same. So we should share trauma.
All right, love you. Bye.
Oh, Guido, wherefore art thou?
It wasn't long after that they moved to base housing on Fort Ord. They were there just a short time before the family left and went to the East Coast.
They moved all the way back to Canterbury, New York. And so Detective Joe over at Seaside, he's looking into everything. Did Charlotte and William report anything? Did they take her to the hospital? Did they report her as a runaway? Did they report her missing? 0.00 things come up. They never brought any kind of information about Mary and her disappearance to the authorities. So with all of this information, Joe's like, it's 20 years later. There is absolutely no paper trail of this little girl. I don't really like saying this out loud, but I think we're dealing with a homicide.
Yeah. Well, Detective Joe gets in touch with Sister Kathy and asks her to come back to the home in Seaside. Kathy mentioned that for a long time, she was allowed to play wherever she wanted to in the backyard. But eventually, William forbade her from playing in a certain part of the yard after Mary's disappearance. And detectives assume that is because William likely buried Mary there. That is so fucked up.
Yeah, so we see this old footage of adult Kathy kind of showing Detective Joe around, and this is what we hear in the police footage.
I'm not supposed to come over this way.
You weren't supposed to come over here?
Mm-mm.
Who told you that?
My father.
And so, again, with all of this information, they're thinking, did these two monsters murder their little girl and bury her in the backyard? They have to go on this. And so immediately they contact the forensic team and they're going to dig up the backyard and see what they can find.
But first they bring in cadaver dogs, which inspect the yard one at a time. And every single dog, all 4 of them, went to the same spot underneath the tree, indicating the smell of decay. Based on that, they begin digging the area on October 11th, 2012. And what they unearthed was a girl's tennis shoe, a teddy bear, a belt buckle, but they did not find any remains, which left the investigators so confused. And the fact that the dogs picked up on that scent tells them that at one point there was a body buried there, but now it's gone.
And was it Mary? They have no idea other than those random items they found in there. You know, incidentally, they don't tell us at what level they
dug to find those things.
Yeah.
We see the picture of the hole, but I'm like, was that right under the surface? Did they dig several feet? They didn't give us a lot of information. I was sort of like bummed about that. You know, I was like, how far did you go?
Right.
Where was the bear? You know? So some time passes and it's August 2003 and we hear from Detective Joe again and he's like, where the fuck are William and Charlotte? Let's go find them. Probably with my dad somewhere playing, I don't know, field hockey or something. And so Stephen, by the way, incidentally, he is known as Steve.
Yes, thank you.
I didn't want to confuse anyone.
Oh, thank God you reminded us. I would have forgotten.
Yeah, sorry. I want to make sure all the DBs are on track with us. You guys okay out there?
Yeah.
Great. Well, they find them in Kansas, and they don't really tell us how they find them, but they do. So they send a detective, search warrant in hand, and they interview Charlotte. And you all, we see the footage of her interview, and they note that immediately, super anxious, really tense. She was doing a lot of sighing, and we see part of this interview.
When's the last time you heard from Mary?
8 months. Last time she ran away. My husband said we filed a police report with the Salinas Police Department. If we did, I don't remember.
Honey, Charlotte was more nervous than a pregnant nun.
Also, we're not talking about when you went to the Frosty Freeze.
Yeah.
If you ordered Rocky Road or Strawberry, we're talking about did you fucking report your child missing? This is not an I don't remember situation. Who the fuck are you, Jen McCabe?
I mean, she can't keep track of her affair, so how could she keep track of her own story?
So, Steven, aka Steve, also says that at one point in the interview, Charlotte contradicted her statement and said that she had given her daughter a bus ticket to Salinas. So, sorry, I know I'm not quick on the uptick here. You're confused as to whether or not your 13-year-old ran away or you handed your not even barely a teenager a ticket via public transportation to go several towns over. Which is it? I don't see the disconnect. I don't hear the confusion in those two statements.
Maybe you could drive a boat show through the holes in that story.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Joey, sing the song.
Call your therapist, call on the day.
You all know that Joey and I love talking about our trauma. It's so fun. The good news is it's actually okay because mental health awareness is growing, but there's still progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a survey say that they've avoided seeking mental health support due to the fear of judgment. Number one, Joey and I can't judge you for anything because we're animals. And number two, I'm so sorry people have made you feel that way.
Listen, the hardest thing to do and the bravest thing to do is ask for help. And when you hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect you. It impacts your families, your workplace, and your community. And really, I think we should be encouraging each other to take care of our well-being and break the stigma. The world is a much better place when we are healthy and happy, and you deserve those things.
And this is Mental Health Awareness Month, so this is the perfect time to do that scary thing. And I agree, it can be really scary to sit down with a stranger and tell them all your problems, but BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching the right people with the right therapist. They have an extremely diverse network of over 30,000 licensed therapists, and it's all done online. Basically, BetterHelp is out here trying to make the scary stuff a little less scary for you. We love you for that, BetterHelp.
Y'all, we're all better with help.
Visit BetterHelp.com/IThinkNot to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/IThinkNot.
And there's nothing shameful about therapy. The outfit that you posted on Instagram 2 Tuesdays ago, questionable.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Nothing.
Well, eventually they sit down with William, and Detective Joe brings up the story of the dog, and William says, I don't remember no dog. So Detective Joe presses him on it, and all of a sudden, William remembers. It's a miracle.
How are these gaps in? They got macaroni for brains up there. How do you not remember having a dog?
Who fucking knows? Well, William says, oh yeah, yeah, Mary killed my dog, and it made me very angry. And so Detective Joe mentions that Kathy recalled him hitting Mary in the throat. And William says, oh, you know, I might have. I think I blacked out. What?
And he's kind of going back and forth. Well, I may have. And then finally, William says, you know, come to think of it, that night, my wife, Charlotte, did tell me I had a demon in me. Again, oh, I'm sorry, what?
That reminded me of the time that my mother, let me tell you something. In church, we sat on the front row. Mm-hmm. And during praise and worship, I had to stand up next to my mother. But on this Sunday, I was very ornery. I was an ornery 16-year-old. All I wanted was to make out with a boy, and Jesus wouldn't let me. So I decided to sit down, and my mother grabbed me by the arm, drug me up the aisle, and while she did it, she greeted everyone saying, hello, good morning, hello. Took me into the nursing mother's room that faced the sanctuary and proceeded to try to cast a demon out of me. And I was like, Mom, it's really hot in here. And she goes, that's the demon coming out of you. And I said, or there's no AC in here and what y'all are doing is torturing these mothers who are just trying to nurse their babies and praise Jesus at the same time.
Did she get the demon out?
Sadly, no. Turns out I'm still going to raves and I'm still gay.
Oh, well, can't blame Janet for trying. So Detective Joe finally just flat out asks William.
And I asked him, William, did you kill Mary that night? Because no, I would never kill Mary. I would never do that. William, could the demon have killed Mary? He said, yes, the demon could have killed Mary.
What?
What? So basically, William was like, no, no, no. I would never in my right mind do that. But I was in such a blind rage. I don't know what happened. It wasn't until I was washing the blood off my hands I even knew they were dead. I don't know. This whole thing sounds like some kind of a movie Ed Norton would be in. Anyway, go on.
I don't know why people say we get off topic. It's really terrifying, and it's almost a confession.
Yeah, the closest thing you could get to a confession. I'm taking a maybe as a yes.
But they still don't have a body, and the district attorney is like, I don't feel comfortable moving forward. You need more evidence. So now this case is stalled. But Sister Sherry, she is not going to give up.
Sherry, she is desperately trying to find out what happened to her older sister, Mary. In the meantime, she finds a whole other ass sister named Jeannie. And Sherry goes to meet with Jeannie and she's like, oh my stars, you are the spitting image of our mom. You look just like Charlotte. Now, they didn't share the same dad. It turns out that Jeannie was actually Hubert and Charlotte's daughter and was older than Mary. Remember, it went Mary, Kathy, Sherry? Well, add Jeannie onto the top of that little girly family tree there.
Yeah, and Sherry found Jeannie through Charlotte's sister, Louise. Now, Sherry says, look, every time I spoke with my Aunt Louise, I felt like she knew more about Charlotte than she was willing to say.
Yeah, she was cagey every time she brought it up.
But her Aunt Louise did mention, look, it would not surprise me if there's more of you. Charlotte was a woman with a lot of secrets. And Sherry is like, you mean the sisters might keep coming? My God.
It was the sweetest little slut shame you ever did hear.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman's a monster, so I don't care. But she was like, listen, there wasn't a lap that woman wouldn't sit in. So I wouldn't blame if she, you know, pumped out a couple more little girly pops somewhere.
Charlotte was like, there's two things I love. Men named Steven who go by the name Steve and Dick.
And so that's the thing. When you're dealing with a psychotic liar, it's not just one lie, and it's all the lies that compound.
Yep.
And Charlotte was great at keeping secrets, so everyone is thinking, what else is she hiding? I love psychotic liars. They're my favorite kind of liars. I have, like, an affinity for them.
Where's that Disney movie?
All right, now we're about to take another left turn. Follow us, you all, okay? We're in Phoenix, November 20th, 2003, and the law enforcement was doing some kind of routine checkpoint thing.
They had pulled over a truck with stolen license plates. They arrested the driver. He says, this woman has an ID card and it's Mary Louise Day, same date of birth.
So the Phoenix Police Department gives Detective Steve a phone call and they're like, are you sitting down? You're never going to believe this. You are never going to believe this. They explain the situation and Detective Steven is all, come on my way. Well, Detective Steve calls Sherry and says, I don't know how to say this, but we think we found your sister.
Actually, he called and said, are you sitting down? Everybody in this story wants everyone to have a seat.
Yeah.
Everyone take several seats, sit down, stay there. You all have to be seated for all of this information. So Sherry is equal parts over the moon. Oh my gosh, you found my missing sister that I was quite convinced was dead. And also kind of in disbelief. How can this be true?
It's so rare.
I mean, so rare. How long have we been doing this? And someone just calling and being like, hey, I'm the missing one.
Yeah.
Sorry for all the trouble. I've been hanging out in Phoenix. I do love Phoenix. You know that. Coming to a live show in Phoenix. So then, just as fast as you can say, Khloe Kardashian actually isn't a Kardashian, Sherry gets another call. And it is this sweet Southern voice on the other end. And it's Mary, y'all.
Yeah, she says, is this my sweet little curly redheaded sister? And Sherry is sobbing, right? This is the moment that she's been waiting for basically her whole life. She couldn't believe that she had her sister back. Again, what are the odds of something like this happening?
She has been living her whole life presuming that her sister Mary Louise is dead.
Yeah.
And she's not dead.
Well, Detective Joe, he's like, okay, this all seems a little far-fetched. I want to meet Mary. I have so many questions. And so he decides to sit down with her in Arizona.
Now, remember, the age matched up, the ID matched up. And they said when they sat down with her, she was very sweet, gave a really convincing story, but there were things that were hazy. For example, she remembered where she lived and where she came from and the places that she went, and she kind of remembered her mom's house. And then we hear this part of the interview.
That's an interesting dialect you have, Mary.
What do you mind?
The way you talk.
Why?
I don't know if I've ever quite heard that particular manner of speaking.
And y'all still trying to prove who I am, huh?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
What do you mind? What do you mind? I've never heard. What is that accent?
You know what? I'll talk about it later in the episode. But there are people who have mishmash accents.
Yeah.
There are people where you're like, I can't peg that accent. And they'll be like, army brat.
Right.
You know, like people who move around a lot. They kind of like pick up little things. And honestly, I think it's kind of an ADHD thing because not that she has it, but like if I am with someone for a long period of time, like when I was married to my ex, sometimes I would say words. I'm like, why am I saying that word like that? It's kind of like it osmosized into my brain for some reason.
It's the Madonna effect of the aughts.
Could you imagine if all of a sudden I was like, Joseph, I'd like to sit down and talk to you. But we don't know where this woman has been for 20 years. So I'm kind of like, let the woman tell her story. So, like I said, this woman that they're interviewing, they presume is young Mary. And some things about her life she remembers, but not everything. And they kind of think there are some things that she doesn't remember that she most certainly should. Like, for example, she didn't remember the dog.
Yeah.
At all. That poor dog keeps getting forgotten by everyone. It's like, bow. Like, why is everyone forgetting poor Bowser over there?
Well, she also did not recall William assaulting her. And listen to what she says.
But then eventually, what happened? You got out of the house?
I don't know how I did it.
But did you?
I don't know how long I was in the house. I can't remember guy from
9. That accent is very interesting. So
yeah.
Basically, Detective Joe is like, I know how to nip this in the bud real fast. We're going to collect a saliva sample for a DNA test, which she was happy to give them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they also asked Mama Charlotte for a DNA sample, and they sent them off to the lab.
And now just for your brains, her father, Charles Day, passed many years ago in 1979. They didn't say it in the episode, but he died tragically in a car accident.
Aww.
And he was cremated, so they weren't able to extract any of his DNA. So they just had Mama Charlotte and this woman, Mary. Joey, guess what?
What?
Gab is back. You all, if you have teenagers or young kids, you need to listen up because the youth mental health crisis, it's all over the news, all over my TikTok, all over my feeds. And as much as I love social media, we know that social media is a part of the problem. You know, this really shocked me. An average teen spends about 9 hours a day on screens outside of school.
Let me tell you something. As a 45-year-old man, social media does not do great things for me at times as well. But that's why Gab is great, because Gab has solved the problem by doing something no one else is doing. They provide kid-safe phones and watches for every age and stage. Basically, the right device at the right time.
Essentially, Gab devices have no social media or internet apps. And then, for younger kids, there's a watch with GPS tracking and safe zones. And then, for teens, there's a starter phone with a little more features and some messaging and video calling. And then they have the next step for teenager, which is more of an advanced phone. And they have features like parent-managed apps and a camera. Because here's the bottom line. Why on earth would you give your kids a device that's made for an adult? I have an almost 16-year-old, and I wish Gab was around so that she could feel like she was socially connected but didn't have the scary internet parts.
Listen, we love Gab. It's a great option for your kids or your teens, and you can use our code to get the best deal. And that means protecting your kids has never been easier.
For the best deals, sign up at Gab today. No contract required at gab.com/think.
That's Gab, GABB.com/think.
Gab.com/think. Terms and conditions apply.
I think I need a Gab phone because I'm tired of looking at Instagram.
You need your phone taken away for many reasons, my love. Now, in the meantime, while all of this investigation is happening, Sherry is ecstatic. Her long-lost sister, who she presumed was dead, is here and is living. And she's like, I need to see you. Come visit me. Come to North Carolina. I want to throw my arms around you.
And she does. She ends up in North Carolina. And when Sherry arrived at the airport, she took one look at Mary and she said, I was thinking, God, I hope that ain't her. She looks scary as fuck. And I was like, that is not the first reaction you want to be when you're reuniting with your long lost sister.
Well, Sherry says to the interviewer, she's like, should I say what I really thought? And they're like, oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're putting this on Discovery Plus. Say whatever you want. So irregardless of how scary this woman looks, Sherry is so excited to welcome her into her home. And Mary stayed with her for a while. And slowly, Sherry learned that Mary didn't know a lot about their life. She couldn't remember their dad's name. Her birthday was a little fuzzy. And then that legal expert with the bowed vocal cords comes back to say exactly what I was thinking Sherry said that, which was that trauma can make you forget things. It is very possible that this girl blocked a majority of her young life out due to trauma. But there was more, because Sherry said when her sister Mary came and lived at her house, everything kind of turned upside down. Life became really chaotic.
There was so much drama when she moved into my house. The constant fights, the constant craziness. The fact is that I really did think she was crazy, mentally ill.
And at this point in the episode, we see Sherry bringing her sister Jeannie to the last home that Mary lived in. And she tells Jeannie that Mary had different personalities, right? Which she named. There was Mary who was very put together, happy, and friendly. And then there was someone she called Monica, who she said physically looked like a completely different person, very haggard, slumped, would drag her feet as she walked, which reminded me of Selena Carvajal, aka Lena Hall. I used to tell her, I could hear her walking past our gondola. She would shuffle her feet and I would say, quit your shuffling, shuffler.
Oh my gosh, my friend Melissa scuffles her feet when she's wearing flip-flops. I'd be like, pick up your feet.
No shuffling.
I'm so exhausted. I couldn't possibly pick up this flop. I can flip it, but I can't flop it. I'm too tired. Foot scufflers, you know who you are. You know what you did.
Well, the other thing that Sherry says is that when Mary became Monica, her face looked like she wanted to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. And Sherry said, you know, she didn't like my house rules. And Sherry had kids. She had certain house rules. And Mary, Monica didn't like following them. And one of them was drinking. Sherry didn't like the excessive drinking. And Mary was hiding alcohol in drawers. And she's like, I have little kids. Like, you can't stay here if you're going to be drinking. And that's when Sherry found her that other place to live. And she also aided Mary in getting a stable job. But she just wasn't well.
Well, the final straw was one day Sherry gets a call from Mary. Mary says, oh, girl, you need to come over. I need you to come over right now. And Sherry's like, okay. Sherry arrives at the house, opens the front door,
and immediately Mary hurls a bottle of beer at her head. And Sherry made the comment, there was more than one person living with her. And I think she's referring to different personalities. It seemed like Mary was living with dissociative identity disorder, which we used to call multiple personality disorder. But they all had individual mannerisms, including their walk. And so eventually Sherry was like, you, Monica, and the rest of the choir of people that you got in this house, y'all need to move back to Arizona because I'm not dealing with this. Take Peter, Paul, Mary, Steve, Courtney, Christy, Cameron, all of y'all got to go, okay?
She conjured the spirit of Whitney Houston when she said,
Donna, Lynn, Pat, Lori, Shelley, Aaliyah, Rose, Brian, Darren, and Ulysses, thank you for holding down the fort. Uh-huh.
I mean, okay, we're making a joke of this, of course, but here's the thing. Sherry was really upset and really scared because she thought, I don't think this person is my sister. I don't think this is Mary Louise Day.
And the Seaside investigators believe the same thing.
But this was all based on her personality and right. her emotional reaction. But one thing that they could absolutely turn to was the DNA evidence that they took.
And the DNA results came back. And it floored all of us. Her DNA matched Charlotte as being the mother of Phoenix Mary, as we called her.
Y'all, I literally thought they were going to say it wasn't a match. It's not
Absolutely.
Her. She's someone else. Y'all.
Someone who was just trying to get a free ride, live with Sherry. No, you all, it was a match for Charlotte. That Mary that they actually named Phoenix Mary, just, you know, to keep track, yeah. was a direct DNA match to Charlotte. Now everyone is like, we're in the upside down. I don't know what's what. Up is down. I said 2024 earlier today. Now it all makes sense. Everything is crazy.
And the district attorney was like, we're good with that. Close the case. We're done. But Detective Joe is thinking, okay, it's a DNA match. Okay, it matches. But what about all the evidence that supports that this is a homicide? It doesn't make sense. So we fast forward 5 years later, and Detective Steve becomes chief of police. And I wonder if he started going by Steven. Probably not. And immediately he goes to former Detective Mark Clark to look into Mary Day's case.
And Mark agreed. The evidence seemed really clear. It was all very compelling that back in 1981, Mary Day was murdered. Now, we're going back to the dogs. We're going back to the demon confession from William. And so they're saying, if this is not Mary Day, but she shares the same DNA as Charlotte, could there be another conclusion that we could draw? Maybe it's another kind of relative because it doesn't say direct relative and we don't have Charles Day to cross-reference the DNA. So maybe something else is going on here. Also, Mary Louise Day was born February 19th, 1968. And this woman called Phoenix Mary, she insisted her birthday was December 21st, 1966. So now they're like, okay, let's go back to Charlotte's lifetime. Timeline and see how this all maps out. Now, remember, Charlotte was somewhat of a semen demon and she cheated on all of her husbands.
Listen, we don't slut shame. We do not slut shame because, listen, if y'all saw my Saturday nights, y'all would be like, you'll be on my prayer list to the day you die. But I'm just saying, Charlotte was busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest with the way she...
You are pulling out all of the Southern... Did you hang out with a family member this weekend? What are you doing
it's
to
Dolly
me?
It's Dolly Parton. I blame her. But I just mean, like, she was dickmatized, okay?
Yeah.
She loved it, and I don't blame her. I'm not arguing with it. I get it, Charlotte.
It's a fair argument, because what if she did have other kids? What if she had other kids before Mary? Because remember, Jeannie popped out of thin air. What if this woman is another relative, not Mary, another daughter? Like, who honestly is to tell? Like, Charlotte was out there getting her kitty scratched and maybe popping out a couple more kids. They don't know. At the end of the day, they're just trying to find out what happened to their loved one.
The prospects of Phoenix Mary being a lost daughter of Charlotte are sort of head spinning. If it is true, then the circumstances of Phoenix Mary coming forward just months after the police interrogated her mother and William Hoole require even more scrutiny.
Both the family and the detectives are like, you know, this timeline is interesting of when Phoenix Mary showed up. Sherry says, you know, I knew that Charlotte kept tabs on all of her kids. What if she went to this daughter that she had been hiding and asked her to pose as Mary because they knew they were being investigated for murder? It's a theory worth looking into.
Right. It was very possible Charlotte was absolutely off her rocker, and she's like, hey, cousin Lucinda, don't ask any questions. I'm wanted for armed robbery. I need you to pretend to be Mary. Charlotte was a sneaky snake. There is nothing that they wouldn't put past her. You always get to think of songs. I want to think of a song for a sponsor.
Hit it.
IQ Mix, you're the fix for my dehydration. Okay, I need to work on it. I shouldn't have jumped in.
It's a ballad.
You all know I love IQ Mix. I can't lie. I love their hydration sticks. I love their coffee sticks. I love their bars. It's a thing.
Listen, y'all, I'm hopping on a plane tonight to see my mama in New Orleans, and there's two things you will find in my bag. One, an Anne Rice novel, and two, an IQ Mix. And I'll tell you why. Because getting on an airplane, it is so dry in there, it's dehydrating, but IQ Mix comes in clutch because they have three times the electrolytes of most sports drinks, and it's packed with nutrients which are shown to support cognitive and physical performance. And you never know when I'll have to do a BotMa layout on a plane.
You never know when a Scrabble game is gonna break out, and you need that cognitive performance. Don't forget, IQ Mix is free from gluten, soy, sugar, and GMOs. It is certified vegan and kosher, and it just tastes good.
Not to mention they have amazing flavors such as passion fruit, pina colada, and my favorite, raspberry lemonade.
I have come to really love IQ Bar, and you all know I don't put anything in my body that I don't trust. Zip it.
And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text THINK to 64,000.
Text THINK to 64,000.
That's THINK to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. How did my song go? I forget it.
So did I, love.
Okay. So now it's 2008. They haven't gotten any information. They haven't moved forward with this whole Phoenix Mary. And at that point, Mark Clark left the investigation. He's like, this is too twisted for color TV.
Yep.
I don't know what's happening. There's all these questions and absolutely no answers. And on top of Mark Clark leaving, now at the Seaside Police Department, there's a new police chief. And guess what, you all?
She's a lady. Whoa, 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 she's a lady.
That's right.
Yep.
Here comes down bitch Judy Velez. And she was the next chief, and she took over the Mary Day case.
Yeah, she reopened it. And in 2017, Judy got a call from Sherry to say that Phoenix Mary, the one who lived with Sherry, is actually living in Warsaw, Missouri, and sadly is dying from cancer and is in hospice. And Chief of Police Judy is thinking, well, maybe we'll get a deathbed confession. So she goes to Missouri to speak with her. And when Judy asks Mary about being assaulted by William, she didn't remember it. Yeah. She said she left the house, but doesn't remember when or how. But she does remember that she met an older woman named BJ Ward who gave her a place to live. That's what she recalls. But finally, Mary says this, I know I'm about to die. I want everyone to know I am Mary Louise Day. I'm not missing. This is me.
And then Hugh Jackman showed up.
No, no.
And she sang a song.
No.
This is me.
Are you mad at me? are you mad?
I
are
quit.
You mad?
And sadly, 9 days later, Mary passed.
So after Mary passed, Judy goes back to Seaside and she shoots off an email to BJ Ward, this person that Mary told her about on her deathbed. And she says, basically, hey, hi, BJ. We've been kicking around this case for, I don't know, like 700 years. We really need to clear some things up. This woman, Mary Day, sadly just passed. But was there any time in your life that you took care of her? And she said, you know what? I am so bad at all the scrapbooking and the picture taking and the organizing. My boyfriend Buck might have a picture. Let us get back to you.
When I heard this, I thought there's just no way he's going to have a picture of her. That would be amazing. And wouldn't you know, I think it was a couple weeks later, he said, hey, I found the picture.
Boyfriend Buck sends it over to Chief of Police Judy, and it looks a lot like Mary. This picture was from 1983. Judy took one look at it, and she was convinced that is Mary Day.
So because you guys aren't watching this episode with us, let me explain what we've seen on the show. We saw a picture of young Mary at about 8, would you say, Joey? Or 9? And then we see this picture when she's about 15 years old. And then an adult picture for when she would have gone to visit her sister, Sherry. And then during her last days, you can tell she's, you know, she doesn't have any hair. And when you put these pictures together, they're eyes are the same, but more than anything, she has this sort of lift in her nose. Yeah. It almost looks like...
it's one nostril.
Yeah, on one nostril. And honestly, like, not to be morbid, it looks like she might have gotten hit at some point and possibly broken her nose. That's totally my speculation. I didn't read that anywhere. And it matches up from the little picture. Maybe she was born that way. I don't know. They're not even. One nostril is significantly more bent than the other.
Yeah.
You all... it looks like Mary.
It's consistent in all of the pictures.
And so they close the case again.
Again. But even with this, there's still uncertainty. And youngest daughter, Sherry, decides to go speak with her birth mother, Charlotte, and basically confront her. She wants answers.
Mm-hmm.
And on June 22nd, 2024, Sherry flew to Kansas to speak with her now 78-year-old mother, who is in assisted living. And she just wants the truth. She just wants to know that Charlotte is maybe sorry, has some kind of remorse. And Charlotte declined to be on camera. And we see Sherry walking out of the home, and she's very upset.
Yeah, she's just distraught. She's crying. We don't know what happened in there, but Sherry basically says she didn't confess.
She denies everything. Everything and all of it. I'm glad I got to talk to her, but there's no remorse there. There's no contrition. There's no taking responsibility for anything that she did. It was an absolute denial of everything. Honestly, it just kind of pissed me off.
And more than anything, Sherry doesn't have closure or any kind of answers. So I guess Charlotte is taking this story to the grave. So now they're just left wondering, is that Mary, the sister to Sherry and Kathy and Jeannie, or is this some kind of imposter that either Charlotte sent or someone going through a mental health crisis? And her family does not believe that woman was Mary.
So look, obviously Phoenix Mary is related to them, right? The DNA matched up with Charlotte. Charlotte is 100% her mother. And Chief of Police Judy says, look, there's always going to be doubters, but I believe it was her because I sat and spoke with her face to face. And again, they show us those side-by-side pictures of Mary as a child next to the picture of her from 1983. I think it's the same person. I really do. But Detective Steve says, yeah, it could be Mary, but it also could be another sister.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end of the episode. Sherry is adamant. She says she doesn't care from whatever evidentiary stuff is there right in front of her. She says she feels it in her bones. That was not her sister. And then right at the end of the episode, they explain that Kathy, their other sister, had this late in life recollection of something that happened. During their cross-country trip from Seaside back to New York, she vividly remembers her stepdad, William, stopping in Utah, and she remembers the smell of salt. You know that smell is the sense that triggers memories the most.
Yep.
Like when you know a smell, it just comes back to you. So much so that she says if she smells that kind of salt that she smells in Utah, she's absolutely transported back to that moment.
Yeah. Well, she recalls that they stopped, right, in the middle of the night. In this deserted area.
William told Kathy to look forward. He was going to go to the trunk and do something.
There was this big, huge oriental rug that was all wrapped up. William pulled the rug out, walked out in the middle of the desert.
And he saw her looking back, and he yelled at her, don't look back. He said it very angrily, so she was scared of him.
Could you imagine someone saying, don't turn around? I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you, Ace of Base? Don't tell me what to do. He didn't come back for a long time. And when he did, he was covered in dirt and he did not have that rug any longer. They got in the car and they drove off. Now, what immediately comes to my mind is, yes, the obvious answer would be Mary. But the other thing I was thinking is, if they buried the dog in the backyard, and this was not too long after Mary disappeared, what if he unearthed the dog because he was super attached to it? He was obviously not a well man. What if he unearthed the dog and thought, I'm going to bury it somewhere between here and New York?
Yeah, when you said that before we recorded, I was like, oh, the dog.
But that is not the case for the family. They believe truly that William buried Mary's remains somewhere in Utah.
And if that's the case, then who the fuck was Phoenix Mary? Who was this woman with this erratic and confusing behavior? Now, dissociative identity disorder is very rare, but it is very real, and it is most definitely a trauma response. It is very possible that this Mary developed many personalities to deal with the trauma that Mary could not. And I have not done much research on this, but I know I don't mean to sound stupid, but there are people on TikTok who have this, who have explained it. And I'm not trying to be rude. It almost looks like an act.
Yeah.
Because they have different accents and timbre and the way they speak and mannerisms. But it is very real. And it's usually comes from deep neglect, abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, all of those things. So how can you discount everything that these poor girls went through and say that it's not completely possible that Mary was going through that same kind of mental illness?
Yeah, I mean, that disorder would explain the gaps in her memory. And the truth is that sadly, we will never know, and neither will the family. It should be said to this day as well that William Hole denies having anything to do with Mary Day's disappearance. And that's basically where the episode ends.
Whatever happened to her in 1981, whether she lived on for decades more or died that day, she will still live on in the hearts of her sisters. They will never forget the Mary they knew in 1981.
So I have a couple bits of things that might fill in some gaps that weren't included in the episode. This actually is a really great TV show, but there's only so much you can fit in an hour-long true crime show. So I totally respect that. So while Mary and Kathy Day were in foster care, while Sherry was with the Waltz family, Charlotte and William had two other kids of their own, Billie Jean and William Jr. And in 1978, the family actually moved to Hawaii. And that's when those other kids were born. And in 1980, while they were living in Hawaii, little Mary was removed from the home and she was placed in protective custody because William was physically abusive towards her. Now, remember, she went missing back in 1981. And so after that, once she was brought back to the family, she spent a few months in foster care. They moved back to California. And when they moved back to California, Mary did run away many times, but she was always sent back. And also, it's interestingly enough, I don't know why, you know how sometimes they change the names of people? You remember how Judy Velez told us that woman that she stayed with? Her name was Maury Kimmel.
And they changed it to BJ?
Yeah, I don't know why. Because everywhere it said Maury Kimmel. And she says that Mary won her heart and she took care of Mary. And then she ran away again. So Mary actually ran away from whether it was BJ or Maury Kimmel. So something else that I found online was that if she was really severely abused by William, sorry, she was abused, but this could be, have been part of the abuse. There could have been a TBI, a traumatic brain injuries, because we've learned in other episodes that those things can cause changes in personality, brain function. And so that could also take place, including the trauma. And something that they skipped over was her alcohol use disorder. I think all of those things, the trauma, the possible blocking out, the possible injuries to her brain, because if she was severely abused as a little kid, I mean, I don't know. This is where I was sort of trying to piece this together in a little Sherlock Holmes kind of way. I can get on board with that story that Charlotte found either another kid or a cousin to cosplay as her daughter, but Phoenix Mary was found at a random traffic stop. It wasn't like she went to the cops and was like, hey, my name's Mary right. Day. Have you all been looking for me? So in that regard, that part of the story, though very interesting and compelling, it doesn't really make sense to me. And you all, we will post a picture. That's the same woman.
I agree. I do agree.
I don't mean to disrespect the family.
No, of course not.
But Occam's razor tells us that it is very possible that this girl ran away. She ran away before. She was being abused. She had no way out. And the mom was crazy and being like, fuck you, go on. Because Charlotte was quoted as saying, if she's dead, she's dead. She said that in her interview. It wasn't included in the episode. So I think she didn't like being a mom.
Yeah.
She didn't like that kid for whatever reason. Who knows what else happened between her and William?
Yeah.
And she was just like, I don't care. And that kid went and found, you know, BJ or Maury or whatever, and she got taken care of. You all, that is Mary.
Yeah, I agree.
We have never had a case like this.
Never.
This is a banana pants case. And I was convinced when they were going to come back with the DNA, they're going to be like, we don't know who this quackadoodle is.
Yeah.
DNA doesn't lie. Occam's razor tells us go straight for the easiest story.
Yeah.
Is that what you were thinking too?
I agree. I totally agree. I do believe that this is Mary Day. And I do believe that she had dissociative identity disorder. And that would explain a lot. I mean, how could she not? Given everything that she went through, she probably did have head trauma from this man. And I would be curious to know, not that it's an excuse, but I would be curious to know if William served during Vietnam and had severe PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
He was an unpredictable man. My heart breaks for the family because, sadly, I don't think Sherry will ever accept that that was her sister. And I wish nothing but peace and closure for all of them. I really do.
And I think what she said at the beginning of the episode was spot on. I don't think Charlotte ever wanted to be a mom. And unfortunately, this is a conversation that we carry on now. Because why would you force someone to give birth in any way when they don't want it? Because she wasn't well. She didn't love her girls, sadly, or she wouldn't have acted the way she did. And then there are four severely traumatized little girls who never deserved that kind of life and never deserved to take on that kind of trauma at the hands of someone else.
I agree. I would be very curious to hear what the brothers had to say.
Yeah. Say something funny.
Well, we all know that nicknames are important. I have a nickname for you, which is my little sugar plum fairy.
Okay.
And I like Joey, which is short for Joseph, just so everyone knows.
Oh.
But I think I'm going to give myself a new nickname.
Okay.
It's just right to the point. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
My new nickname is...
Has a ring. Well, this show is good. I cannot wait to dive into it. So we are going to be doing episode 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Yep.
If you want to get ahead, if you want to take a look, Discovery Plus, Roku for free, all of those things. Don't forget, we are going on tour. Please come and see us. I promise you, it is going to be a night to remember. We're going to hug. We're going to open mouth kiss. We're going to laugh, probably cry.
And also, if you're a solo DB, if you're coming to one of our shows solo, do not worry. You will be embraced by everyone. Make sure you find posts in our Facebook group, which is called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group, where you can post and be like, hey, does anyone want to meet up in Dallas? I promise you, you will find a bunch. You'll have a good time, you'll be taken care of, and you'll be safe.
There's already some meetups started, so be sure and check it out. Every city pretty much now already has a meetup place, hangs, hugs, drinks, either soft or not. There's something for everyone, for sure.
And if you want a little bit more of us, head on over to patreon.com/ithinknot, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get 4 bonus episodes, 3 true crime and 1 true crime adjacent. We also have a ton of community activities. We do quarterly paint parties, monthly watch parties where we just finished Beaches. That's on me. I'm sorry. I made everyone cry. We also have Swamp Talk, which is our monthly talk show where we talk about whatever we want, but mostly we cry. Don't worry, we laugh too. There's all kinds of things over there, so head on over.
Patreon.com/ithinknot. And don't forget, the best and freest way you can support us is by following us on social media. I Think Not Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And when you see us, like us, comment. It helps boost us in the algorithm. We sure do appreciate it. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Ellen Marie Marsh, and I love you, D-Base.
I love you, John Bitches.
Bye.
Oh, God. Sorry, and let me start over. So it's...
They knew they were being investigated for Murray. Murray. Murray Hill. I think, look him up.
Then who... The fact remains... So...
I love you, Tim Marie.
And...
Ellen, I have to pee. I'm sorry.
It's okay. This should be the time where I just tell you secrets about Joey.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.